Get ready for Sharon Hughes.
It's unfortunate and tragic that I have to teach this committee the basic principles of Americanism.
That's not the question.
Saying it like it is.
This is a worldwide problem, a worldwide enemy, and we better get our act together or we're in trouble.
We are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice.
I had my way about it. They'd all be sent back to Russia or some other unpleasant place.
Bringing you familiar guests on important issues such as immigration, education, the Middle East, culture, religion, and the changing worldviews of Americans and the world. Now here's Sharon.
For such a time as this.
Freeing the minds of the brainwashed masses.
Today.
I never dreamed of that this socialist concept would make its way home in America. And when I saw that America is heading towards socialism, it scared me because there's no America to go to. And America gave me such an opportunity that I figured I owe something to this country. And that's why I got politically active and I decided to do something because I understand socialism because I lived under it. And American people, if they never lived under socialism and they don't really know what it's like, but they are beginning to smell that something doesn't smell good. And the coming battle talks about how the Senate and Congress didn't like this and they passed a bill which was signed into law to roll the debt over from generation to generation, resulting in what you're facing today. So basically we are indentured slaves.
We're going to focus in on one main issue every show. That would give us like four main issues to focus on this month. And I want to start out with the whole issue of what's going on with our economy. My interview all about the Federal Reserve. I think you'll find this is pretty interesting information. You know, Harry Truman said back in 1950, once a government is committed to the principle of silencing the voice of opposition, it has only one way to go, and that is down the path of increasingly repressive measures until it becomes a source of terror to all its citizens and creates a country where everyone lives in fear. Well, if you agree with Harry Truman's statement and our founding documents, and if you're not ashamed or afraid to stand up for your country and for your future and your family's future, then this shows for you and for our Economy Watch, manipulating our monetary system. You know, Mayor Amschel Bauer Rothschild, it's a big name, said, "Give me control of a nation's money, and I care not who makes its laws." Well, how did the Federal Reserve become the money manager of the United States anyway? Paul Walter, who's editor of News with Views, gives some insight. Paul was born in Yugoslavia, and after much suffering under socialism, his family escaped and came to America. And as with so many immigrants who were grateful for America, Paul is a patriotic American who served in the U.S. Army. He plunged into the pursuit of the American dream and takes his civic responsibility seriously. In addition to running News with Views, an online news site, and Walter Publishing Company, Paul is active in politics, and I just want to welcome you, Paul, to Changing World Views. Thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you very much, Sharon. That's newswithviews.com because some people don't know if it's .com or .org or whatever.
Okay, great. You know, something I hadn't shared with you, my father was Yugoslavian, so I'm half Yugoslavian, half Czechoslovakian.
Oh, you are? Well, I tell you something. When we came here in 1959 with my parents, I, of course, went into the service and served in the United States Army for 3 years. And I was at awe that a country could actually exist, that you can be whatever you want to be. All you have to do is be honest and work hard, and the sky's the limit. And, you know, we didn't have government regulations and licenses and fees and permits for everything like we did in our communist country that I came from. Their government controlled everything.
Yeah.
They told you how to raise your kids. They told you what business you can and cannot be in. And I never dreamed of that this socialist concept would make its way home in America. And when I saw that America is heading towards socialism, it scared me because there's no America to go to, and America gave me such an opportunity that I figured I owe something to this country. And that's why I got politically active and I decided to do something, because I understand socialism because I lived under it. And American people, if they never lived under socialism, and they don't really know what it's like, but they are beginning to smell that something doesn't smell good.
And you make a good point. If America goes that way, where are you going to go? There's not another America.
That's right. Yeah. America gave all of us an opportunity, and we need to stand up for it right now.
I know that that Yugoslavian blood, work hard, play hard, eat hard, sleep hard, you know, and before we talk about your book, I wanted to ask you, and the reason I say that is because you've worked really hard, but you've taken newswithviews.com to its success in a relatively short period of time. For 10 million hits a month is no small thing. How did you do that?
Well, the mainstream press is mostly biased, and they're basically liberal. So you have some online news services that are good, and what was missing that I see is to bring the problems down that are destroying our country in the local level. A lot of these bills are created in Washington or United Nations or God knows where they're created, and they get passed along down to the states, and states passes it down to the local level, but the guy on the local level is the one that has to implement it. So I realize a lot of these things are not talked about, different bills that rob you from your property rights, take away the farm from the farmer and the ranch from the rancher. And we need a site that will bring the reality a little bit closer where people can see where the problem is, because it affects everyone in some way. So we decided to do this on the local level, and it grew so big, and we handpicked basically every writer that we have. The direction we're taking this is, it's either right or wrong, good or evil. And what we want to do is have writers that understand different things that are going on in this country and exposing it and not naming this person is good or this person is bad. It's just basically talk about issues, and that's why we've been so successful.
And I appreciate you've asked me to join that team and
that
association.
Well, we've been waiting for you for a year, and we finally came aboard with them.
Listen, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what's the Federal Reserve really, so don't go away.
You're listening to Sharon Hughes, celebrating 20 years on the air, taking you to the front lines and behind the scenes.
Every day begins with choices. From the moment we wake up, our day consists of endless opportunities to choose. Our choices are driven by our values, our dreams, and our faith. Sometimes we stand out for our choices. Other times we may not see how our choices affect those around us. Some choices are easy. Others require more serious thought and prayer. Americans have an important choice to make, a choice that will shape our nation for years to come. Join 90 million Christians as we cast our votes based on our faith, our hopes, and our prayers for America. Make the pledge to vote from a biblical worldview, because what we believe matters.
This month, we have a special on books that address the time in which we are living, some say the end times. So any donation of $25, you'll get two books that will really address the day in which we live.
We found out with killer bees and genetically modified crops that whereas we think we can contain these experiments in genetic modification, they have a way of getting around us. So the future of molecular biology could become a Pandora's box. And with that in mind, I developed a science fiction story called The Aramon Gate, but in which we have probably 1,500 pages of research material stacked up on our desk that was given to us by people who work in genetics and in science and who work in military application. We used it as a backdrop for creating this story.
And to get this special, you can go to our website, changingworldviews.com, and click on the donation page and follow the links there. Or you can send a check to Changing Worldviews, P.O. Box 995, Cedar Ridge, California, 95924. Again, P.O. Box 995, Cedar Ridge, California, 95924.
Here's more with your host, Sharon Hughes, bringing you the best on faith, family, and freedom.
I'm talking with Paul Walter about the book, The Coming Battle. And this is a book that he found that he was so impressed with what it uncovered and exposed about our monetary system that I wanted to have him talk to us about that. So, Paul, some of us understand this, but for those that don't, can you just briefly tell us what the Federal Reserve is?
First of all, for your listeners, The Coming Battle was published in 1899, so it's over 100 years old. And we accidentally found a copy that survived. And when I got this copy from my son-in-law, I couldn't believe what I was reading. So what this book contains is a complete blueprint for basically, I call it the Iron Triangle, controls the lives of every American. And the Iron Triangle is the government partnering with banksters, as Mr. Walbert calls them, and corporations. So you have corporations, bankers, and the government partnering together in controlling the country. And the bankers put their foothold in this country as early as 1776 with the first Charter Bank of America. Then Andrew Jackson refused to recharter the bank because he saw how dangerous it was, but he got rechartered anyway for a period of another 20 years. And he's the one that set the bankers so far back that it basically took him till the 1870s when they started consolidating the power, because Andrew Jackson understood the dangers of money to be in a private hands in a certain person's power. He knew how dangerous that was. So that's why Mr. Walbert brought this out. And for example, what you asked me about the Act to strengthen public credit. Now, what this did is to act to strengthen, a government borrows money from these bankers. They create money out of thin air, and they lend it to the government, and the government has to pay this back with interest. Well, the government doesn't own anything, so they didn't have a good collateral. So what they did is they passed this bill, an act to strengthen public credit, pledging you and I and our property and our wealth as collateral for the national debt. And that's why they passed this bill. You and I are the collateral. And in fact, Andrew Jackson says that the national debt should be paid up by the generation who creates it, so we don't pass it on to our children. And The Coming Battle talks about how the Senate and Congress didn't like this, and they passed a bill which was signed into law to roll the debt over from generation to generation, mm-hmm. resulting in what you're facing today. So basically, we are indentured slaves. And The Coming Battle talks about the different banks that existed in the East Coast, like Hanover, Chase Bank. They're still in existence today that control the country. And of course, we have banks in different states were privately owned. And those were, of course, privately owned too, but they were basically a monopoly and they controlled the whole thing. And they passed legislation to put all the banks in the country out of business. And they've done that to demonetization of silver. Because when silver came on the scene back, Comstock Lode was discovered in Nevada, and person who owned a silver mine could take his silver ore to the mint and have it minted to smaller denominations like silver dollars, quarters, dimes, and so forth. And that became the financial liberator of the American people, because everyone could afford to have silver in the pocket. Not everyone could afford to have gold in the pocket, because gold was minted in larger denominations like $5, $10, and $20 gold pieces. So what they did is they passed a bill to demonetize silver, to make silver worthless, to make their paper money worth more, and that created one of the largest depressions that ever hit this country. It lasted 6 years, and as Mr. Walbert describes it, first time in the history of this country, an American tramp appeared on American highways, meaning homelessness. There was no homelessness in this country until it was artificially created.
Well, we're going to take another break here, and when we come back, we'll talk some more about this. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sharon Hughes, your genuine alternative voice, bringing you commentary on the issues that matter most. If you'd like to change the world, won't you partner with us? For a donation of $15 a month, you'll receive online access to special partner-only podcasts, our monthly Best of the Best program on CD, and Sharon's monthly Saying It Like It Is letter. Just go to changingworldviews.com/donation page and sign up online. Sign up today to begin receiving all these benefits now. You'll not only help us stay on the air in your area, but it's a way to let Sharon know you're standing with her.
Are you feeling run down? Don't have the energy and vitality you once had? Are you ready to feel alive again? Introducing Alive Again, the breakthrough world-class aloe vera wellness drink with proven health benefits and life-changing testimonies to match.
I drink that. It's the first thing I do every morning. It gives me the energy. It gives me the stamina I need for during the day. I love that it's organic. It's olive oil based.
Alive Again is vegan friendly and gluten free, providing a healthy, natural, antioxidant rich, great tasting super fruit drink to support a healthier quality of life, improve sleep, memory, concentration, mood, and so much more. An easy way to get a healthy portion of your daily fruit requirements in a delicious, health-enhancing nutritional delivery system.
You can get a 20% discount. Just go to apexhealth.life/Sharon. Again, apexhealth.life/Sharon or call 833-334-5433. 833-334-5433.
Guarantees are you going to give this liberal about how that will reduce the cost of gasoline at the pump if we let you drill where you say you want to drill?
I can guarantee to the American people, because of the inaction of the United States Congress, ever increasing prices unless the demand comes down, and the $5 will look like a very low price in the years to come if we are prohibited from finding new reserves, new opportunities to increase supplies.
And guess what this liberal would be all about? This liberal will be all about socializing.
Well, thank you for staying with us. We're talking with Paul Walter about a book his publishing company republished called The Coming Battle. Well, what are some of the other issues in this book that you think are the most important to know? We've got 3 or 4 minutes left here.
Okay. For example, there was a famous circular. I like this the most. Is the famous circular was sent from the London bankers to the American bankers. This is on page 35. And it says, slavery is likely to be abolished by the war power and chattel slavery destroyed. This I and my European friends are in favor of, for slavery is but owning of labor and carries with it the care of the labor. In other words, if you own a slave, you have to house him, feed him, and clothe him. And what it really says is, without reading the whole paragraph, that if you own a slave, you have to house him, feed him, and clothe him. But if you set the slaves free, through taxation, we're all slaves, but we only think we're free. Let me read you the Democratic platform of 1840. So this is like 165 years ago. Resolved. That Congress has no power to charter a United States bank, that we believe such institutions to be one of deadly hostility to the best interest of the government, dangerous to our republican institutions and liberties of the people, and calculated to place the business of the country within the control of the centralized money power and above the laws and the will of the people. This is the Democratic platform of 1840. Now, look what happened to the Democrats. Today is basically a socialist party. USA is no longer a party for the American people. That's very sad. The problem is, you see, even though I'm personally a Republican and a conservative, but they compromise with them too much, like our Oregon state legislature. They can't pass anything because there's too many what we call rhinos in their Republicans in name only, and they compromise with the Democrats, so they're basically Democrats in Republicans' clothing, and they're going along with them.
Well, let's talk just a little bit more about this book. Why is it called The Coming Battle?
The reason it's called The Coming Battle, because Mr. Walbert knew that the money power will eventually consolidate the power to such a degree to where they will threaten the liberties of the people, and eventually we can see that cashless society is coming. Of course, he didn't know about electricity in those days, so he didn't know computers are going to come and electronic money and all this, but he knew that they create money out of thin air, and eventually their power is to dominate the whole world. You can read that in The Coming Battle as you read what Mr. Walbert is saying. And he calls it The Coming Battle because he knew that one day the people are going to rise up and will not take this any longer, and that's why he calls it The Coming Battle, that the people will be on one side and the those who control the money and want to take away your freedom on the other.
Well, you know, there would be those that would say that this is just a conspiracy theory. What would you say to that?
Well, there's no conspiracy, because conspiracy, everything is done in secret, and these people don't do anything in secret. Everything is out in the open for those who are searching and find. This book is not a conspiracy book, because Mr. Walbert doesn't talk about any conspiracies. Everything that he has is documented, all the bills that were passed. For example, he talks about how bills go through different committees and how they put a title on a bill that sounds like, for example, you take a can and you have pictures of peaches outside, so you think it's a can of peaches, but when you open up, it's a can of worms. The same thing with the bills. They go to different committees. Mm-hmm. People don't read what the bills are, what the content of the bill is. They just sign it mm-hmm. because the title sounds good, but inside the fine print is just the opposite, and it's the same thing today. That's not a conspiracy. It's just fact.
I know the people that are listening to us are people that care, people that want to know, people that take action, and somehow we've got to increase these numbers. numbers and get more people knowledgeable about what's going on. And Paul, we're out of time here. I just want to thank you for being with us. Why don't you go ahead and give that information again for your website and how people can get a hold of this book as well.
Okay, they can call 1-800-955-0116. That's 800-955-0116 to order the book. And the website is called thecomingbattle.com. And click on Sharon Hughes and you can read all your articles.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I do encourage you to get a copy. And as Paul writes in the foreword, it is a book in which the reader will see that the answer lies not in the present, but in the past, and that as you read The Coming Battle, your view of the present and the 21st century will take on new meaning. Remember, those who fail to learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. And this book, The Coming Battle, documents from congressional records, newspaper reports, and writings by the founding fathers and others how we got to where we are today. Chuck Norris writing in an article for WorldNet Daily entitled A Force of One, the Federal Reserve, had some interesting points to make that I want to share with you here in closing. Chuck Norris writes that he agrees with Judge Andrew Napolitano, who said, quote, "We know more about the CIA than we do about the Federal Reserve, and that the Federal Reserve is the kind of Freemasonry of government agencies. It's a virtual secret society unto themselves, a group of unelected brokers who hold the value of our dollar in the palms of their hands, that this one agency, with its power to raise and lower interest rates, has exercised more control over the economy than any other government body." So with that type of single-handed power, why should we be surprised when the U.S. Senate blocked a bill to audit the Federal Reserve? That's right. Could it really be a mere coincidence that the bill to audit the Federal Reserve was refused from even being introduced? And again, Judge Napolitano said the administration not only doesn't want the Federal Reserve audited, it wants to put the power to regulate all financial institutions, i.e. banks, insurance companies, brokerage houses, into the hands of this super secret bank. What are they afraid of that we might see if we get a chance to look at their books? Why does the federal agency need a complete auditing? It's very simple. Because America is in the worst economic situation since the Great Depression. The value of the dollar is tanking on the world market, and the Federal Reserve wields the greatest power to control it with virtually no accountability, let alone that the American people and even Congress have virtually no knowledge of what those inside are doing day to day. It was on December 23, 1913 that President Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve Act, creating a 7-member board of governors appointed by the president and approved by Congress and 12 regional banks. From thereafter, banks continued lending money to the public, but the Fed controlled the flow of money via fluctuating interest rates and the tides of credit and money supply and demand. Chuck Norris says that this was the gravest governmental mistake in 1913. A close second was the ratification of the 16th Amendment to the Constitution, which mandated income taxes as national law. As Ron Paul said recently, our founding fathers never intended for a single entity such as the Federal Reserve to have this much power. In fact, there is no authority in the Constitution for the federal government to create a central bank, to enact legal tender laws, or even to print paper money. The 10th Amendment is quite clear that, quote, "the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people." Fact is, the Federal Reserve is one of the best examples of government control run amok and its oppression over its people. It rules by dangling carrots, cheap rates, and loans before the American public, which in turn oppresses people by their inability to resist further debt. The Fed is the dealer in greed and debt, and its drugs are easy money and credit. Under the Federal Reserve system, our economy has to return to the Federal Reserve for repeated fixes like a drug addict. Otherwise, everything goes into the tank. You can read more of that article at WorldNet Daily, A Force of One, The Federal Reserve by Chuck Norris. So, you know, we started this show talking about the fact that we are seeing every single arena of our culture, of our nation, and even our world being deconstructed. And in a nutshell, that basically means instead of constructing, right, building or reconstructing, deconstructing is tearing down. Why? So you can build something different. And that's exactly what the Biden administration and the other globalists around the world mean by Build Back Better as their theme. And we've talked numerous times on the show about the great reset that the globalists want. Well, in order to reset or to build back better, using their motto, you have to deconstruct or tear down what is there in order to build something new. And that, of course, includes our economy. Well, we are going to wrap up today's show, as always, with one of my favorite songs. And it's very appropriate to hear our national anthem by Trace Atkins.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the
Until I see you next time, this is Sharon Hughes saying it like it is.
You've been listening to Changing Worldviews with Sharon Hughes. You can follow Sharon at facebook.com/Sharon and twitter.com/Sharon. Please take advantage of our online shows covering topics and guests we can't possibly cover on our weekly show. That's why we offer more at our website, changingworldviews.com. Join Sharon next time, and until then, stay alert, stay informed, because we live in a changing world.